listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. We do last every day after our oratio and our meditatio, our prayer and meditation on the text of Holy Scripture, is we take it and we apply it to what we see in the world around us on Thursdays. That's by doing some historically speaking with Dr. Daniel Harmelick of Concordia Historical Institute over there on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. And today, I mean, I think quite appropriate, as you mentioned just a moment ago to me, we've been talking about Scripture. We want to take Scripture and apply it to the world. And one of the arguments we find in the world is that all we need is Scripture, and tradition and history doesn't matter at all. Let's get rid of all of that. And that's kind of dangerous in its own way. And this is something you guys are taking up at the Walther Roundtable number 29. Hey, look at that. I did the Roman numerals pretty well.
It's like the Super Bowl. They start using Roman numerals and everyone's, huh?
Yeah.
But one of the things that the Concordia Historical Institute is about is, again, being faithful to Christ by showing that Christ has been redeeming history, not just for the 33 years he was on earth, but continually through the life of the church. So there's more than just, understand the history of the church, understand the history of the Missouri Synod so that you can be thankful. But the history there shows that we need to honor those who have been faithful, who have contended for the faith until the end. And so Walther Roundtable, one of the presentations will be about Walther's sermons on these anniversaries of the Reformation. This 500th anniversary, well, guess what? There's been jubilees, there's been major anniversaries before this year. Mm-hmm. So we're not, again, it's like history, it's like theology. We're not making anything new. This is not new stuff.
Right.
We our prayer is to remain faithful as our forefathers in the faith were faithful. And this is what comes out in Walther's Reformation Day sermons.
If anything is truly new in the church, it's heresy.
There's something, yeah, it smells funny.
Yeah.
So we have to get beyond this. You know, our old nature wants something new and never heard of before.
And we want the novel, right? We want to be tickled. Yeah.
That's great
bit.
If you're writing a PhD dissertation, but it's not good theology. It is not good theology. So, I mean, that temptation to just jettison Luther, to jettison the history of the church, to say, well, you know, I'm a New Testament Christian. It's not a good thing.
This roundtable is taking place Tuesday, May 9th, 2017, from 8:30 a.m. to 1:45 p.m. at Concordia Historical Institute. You got a list of speakers here as well, but you wanted to tip your hand a little bit with what you're going to be talking about and pulling some Walther forward. I think that's probably some of the best stuff we can do is listen to this man who... He gets a bad name among some areas in our church body, but we owe so much to him, not just because he was the founder of the church body, as if he did it by himself, but because in the midst of a crisis of faith for a whole community of people, he steadfastly pointed them back to the Word of God.
I mean, you would say something's up when someone says, I've dedicated my whole life to Christ. I don't read any of what he spoke through the prophets and apostles, but I really love him. And it's the same thing with Luther. And so Walther brings this up. There were plenty of people in Walther's day who always had nice... I mean, Luther's so big that you have to deal with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to deal with him. So you can find communists who love Luther, but again, for all the wrong reasons. So Walther says in this jubilee in 1867, he says, all these people that are now in Europe, in Germany, building these big, huge monuments to Luther, the problem is they don't believe a lick of what Luther preached or taught. So how is it that you can honor a man or honor a person and poo-poo their belief?
Right. And I think it's important to emphasize, we did this a little this morning with, I read some Charles Porterfield Crowth every Thursday morning, and he, just early on in it, talking about the hugeness of Luther as a secular human being. You say he's so big, you got to deal with him. You cannot understand history without seeing how it turned on a dime, right? Right. With the Reformation.
I mean, even Time Magazine, I mean, it's not a Christian publication. They have to do something with Luther.
Yeah, you have to acknowledge that he's there, but you can very easily miss the thing that really made it do what it did, which was the message he was preaching. It wasn't just the printing press. Mm-hmm. It was what was being printed that changed people's minds so dramatically.
So Walther says there were plenty of people in his day that said, well, if Luther was alive today, he'd be preaching a different doctrine. And Walther says, no.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with Christ through the prophets and apostles. Well, if Christ would, what would Jesus do today? They completely mangle the word of Scripture. So it's again, if the word of God was good enough for the prophets of an apostle, St. Paul, Luther, Walther, then it should be the same for us today. So this call back to not going forward in rediscovering some new tickling of the ears doctrine, but go back to the history of the church and see Christ being faithful in keeping his doctrine alive. This is the way to honor Christ.
Yeah, and this gets, you get at a point there that I don't think is made often enough. We do talk about the danger of believing the Bible has errors, but what I don't think is drawn clearly enough is that ultimately the only reason that you can say the Bible has mistakes in it is because you do not believe that Jesus is in fact God. Or he's a very poor God. He's a God who's incompetent. He's incapable.
He messes up a few times.
Yeah. And you say, well, but the apostles were men who just wrote. Yeah, okay. But Jesus chose them. Is he God or not? And why would he send false words to us? And not only say, by the way, you just got to know what we're sending isn't reliable. It's not a rock you can build your house on. You're going to have to fix it. He doesn't say that either.
Right. So again, Walther, again, in his day, it's the same today. People love to quote this Luther saying. Luther says, I don't want anyone calling themselves a Lutheran. We're all Christians, that kind of thing. And so they say, okay, Missouri Synod, you need to listen to your guy because you shouldn't be calling yourself Lutheran, but just Christian.
Right.
That should be good enough for you. But Luther also writes in 1522, those who say I'll follow the teachings of Luther, but I will disown him in public, that's not going to do good well for you either. So again, Luther goes back to St. Paul writing to Timothy that don't be ashamed of prisoners who are prisoners for the sake of the gospel. So it's the same thing, are you of Paul or are you of Cephas? Yeah, that's not good. But when it comes to dishonoring those who are being persecuted, who are under attack, who are faithfully contending for the faith, our disdain for the, or our dismissal, or I'm going to keep an arm's length, we need to honor those people who are faithful. So if you truly believe that the Missouri Synod got it right, it gets it right when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to Scripture, when it comes to doctrine, to say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm not a Lutheran, that just muddies the water.
And the muddy water is exactly it. There is another issue at play in that kind of talk in our day and age, which is the belief that we can remove all distinctions. So somehow if I get rid of the name Luther, then Christianity will all believe the same thing. But what you do instead is you stop us from being able to talk about our differences. Mm-hmm. So the only group that's really done this publicly is the Baptists, who've affected, and the Methodists, I'm not talking about the Baptist or Methodist churches officially, I'm talking about those who no longer call themselves that, and all they've done is they've added another denomination, or several, that now no one really knows what they are because you can't pin them down anymore. If we're ever going to have an ecumenical reality, the church coming back together, we have to be able to distinguish where we disagree and talk about that. And so Lutheran is a way of distinguishing, look, here's what the set of things that we think the scriptures say. Baptist is another way of doing that. It doesn't mean we don't all follow Christ, at least in theory, right? But just shouting away with the differences loudly isn't going to get rid of the differences.
It's the same Luther that was at Worms. It's the same Luther that was at Marburg. So again, to say, good for Luther, he really gave it to those Roman Catholics. Well, then what did he do when it came to Zwingli and this disagreement about what's going on in the Lord's Supper? So this pick and choose stuff, I mean, again, we're celebrating the 500th anniversary. Everyone sings A Mighty Fortress. But if you ask people, have you actually read anything that Luther wrote?
Yeah, less so, less so.
So I would encourage people to continue. Yeah, we continue to celebrate. We continue to commemorate this anniversary year by going back to Christ, but also to honor those who in the thick of battle remain faithful to Christ.
Right.
And so this year, read Luther. I mean, again, and that's a tough thing because he wrote so much.
He did. So I was going to say, where would you start?
Don't be 100% as far as, you know, picking up someone's anthology because, again, you know, they may have been cherry-picked to go in a certain direction.
Right.
But I think the more you read Luther, the more you say, hey, this is a complicated guy because doctrine's complicated. Mm-hmm. It's deep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with Walther. I think people dismiss Walther as this kind of grumpy old man who was a stick in the mud. But he knew Luther.
Mm. Yeah.
He knew Luther like the two of us wish we knew
Wish
Luther.
We did. That's exactly right.
And so in that sense, not only listen to what Walther has to say, but use him as an example. I mean, if we want to know our church history, not only to be thankful people, but also to reap the fruits of their blood, sweat, and tears, it calls us to get back into our past.
The easiest place to pick up Luther, in my mind, is his Large Catechism. And that's right there in your Book of Concord, if you got one. If not, I believe you can get from CPH a standalone by itself. And that's what addicted me to Lutheranism in general.
Yeah,
if
you say, hey, I've mastered the Small Catechism, then go to the Large. If you've mastered the Large Catechism, then go to the Augsburg Confession. If, you know, this kind of thing. Then go to the Formula Concord. Go to the Schmalkald Articles. There's plenty, especially in this Jubilee year, to get excited about when it comes to getting back into our history, the history of Christ's faithfulness to his church.
Again, Dr. Daniel Harmelick talking about the value of the Word of God as confessed by other Christians and kind of previewing a little bit a presentation he's going to give at the Concordia Historical Institute Walther Roundtable 29, if I can do the Super Bowl sound for that there. And the presentation is going to be called C.F.W. Walther's Discussion of the Reformation from the Pulpit, looking at Walther's sermons and the sermons he gave on Jubilee years of the Reformation as we lead our way up to our own celebration of this 500th anniversary of the Reformation.
Give us a call if you'd like to attend, 314-505-7900. We'd love to have you sign up and learn a little more about the history of the Missouri Synod.
And if you make a $30 donation that day, you get a free CFW Walther commemorative medal.
Ooh.
Yeah? That sounds kind of fun. Pressed into service, that connected any of your pressed into service thinking?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Daniel Harmelick of Concordia Historical Institute, talking historically speaking, reminding you and me that you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. And there was a guy who walked through some serious darkness in our history. His name was Martin Luther. And the lamp that he didn't put under a bushel was the Word of God. And by that word, he was able to stand against all manner of things. And in diligence, the wealth that he received, it was not a financial wealth, as our proverb taught us earlier today. It was the wealth of dying in the faith, knowing in whom he trusted, and being willing to say, even on his deathbed, I'm not going to change my mind. I never would have changed my mind. I'm going to hold to Christ. Lord have mercy. We're all beggars. This is true. Pastor Jonathan Fisk, his time on Worldwide KFUO has been your morning drive for the soul. I'll tell you what, people. Our Lord Jesus is coming back, and that's some good news for you and me. We're covered by his blood. It may be today. It could be tomorrow. It doesn't matter to me. In either case, I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.